You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Mark E. Laughlin here. Welcome to another edition of Bible Prophecy Daily. I'm your host this week, and we are in my Revelation commentary series, and we are at chapter 11. For those of you who missed chapter 10, I can't encourage you enough to go back and check that out because I've given you a great recap that gives you context for this portion of Revelation, a great recap of the first 10 chapters of Revelation. But chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, fascinating because of the characters that show up, the biblical characters that show up in Revelation and what they do. This is a huge chapter to give us clues or understanding about what it will be like just prior to Jesus's return. We get the world's perspective. We get the news headlines. We get scenes that are right in the news that everybody sees. All kinds of stuff like that. And I think that is a fascinating aspect of Bible prophecy, is that God literally gives us pictures of the future. It's like a movie trailer where you go, when you're in the theater watching the movie or at home, you realize, yeah, I saw this part, it was in the trailer. I wondered how this fit into the story. And that's what we have here in chapter 11. I mean, look at, I will read chapter 11. Remember, John is given a reed like a rod. It's like a staff. And he's told by the angel who gives it to them, and I believe it's the angel of the Lord who gives him this, to go and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months, or 3.5 years. And then he says, and I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So that's our intro to Revelation chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, I believe, the angel of the Lord Jesus gives John a reed and tells him, you've got to prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Gives him a measuring rod and tells him to go to the temple and measure it. So it tells us there's a temple, obviously, that's been rebuilt somewhere in Jerusalem, probably near the Temple Mount. Don't measure the outer court. There's an outer court. So there's some heavy information here that is really lends itself to reality. We're seeing pictures of what the future will be like, which allows us to be able to see God putting the pieces in place, putting the set pieces in place. Just fascinating stuff. Now, here's what he's told to say in Revelation chapter 11. Here's what John says in verse 4, starting in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 11. He says, these are the two olive trees, referring to the two witnesses he's been told to prophesy about. He says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone that wants to harm them, that is how he will be doomed and killed. They have the power to shut up the sky so that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. Now for 3.5 days, some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze on their bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and will make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. And at that very hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. Now that's Revelation chapter 11. Pretty dramatic, huh? So you got the two witnesses in their ministry. Then you have them being killed, the earth rejoicing, or the people of the earth rejoicing. Then you have them being caught up to heaven 3 days later. Then you have this great earthquake, a tenth of the city collapse. And then you have the seventh trumpet being sounded. And remember, we were told three woes. The first woe was the fifth trumpet. That was the demonic locusts that were stinging people like scorpions. The sixth woe was the 200 million rider army with lions mouths for horses that had lions mouths and snakes tails, and they roasted people with the fire and brimstone that came out of their mouth. And this sixth woe brings about the culmination of God's judgment, and it really contains the seven bowl judgments that are about to start here as we get into things. So it really, it's as though that the seventh angel sounding his trumpet says, "Okay, now I'm announcing these seven bowl judgments, and this is the time has come for destroying those who are destroyers of the earth. This is it, where God's final wrath is coming." So it's really gets heavy at this point, as it were. And of course, we see the opening of the temple, God's temple in heaven, and the Ark of His Covenant revealed, which is saying to anyone that knows anything about the Old Testament, this is the sign of God. We're going to be victorious. We have the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence is with us. He is about to show up his enemies in an ultimate way. So pretty heavy stuff. People can't even go into the temple in heaven until God's judgments are completed, because this is such serious stuff. So one of the first questions most people ask me about this, okay, who are the two witnesses? Well, you know, you stack all the details, and you only really have a few candidates. You've got the requirement is they be... these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Two olive trees really indicate that they are both Israelis. They both represent the Jews, because the Jews, the Jewish people, are an olive tree. That's not a reference to Gentiles. The two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth, the lampstands are considered the law and the prophets. Those are the two lights of God's revelation to Israel. So you have Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. Now there is some some argue that Enoch could be one of the two witnesses, and I think there's some weight for him because he walked with God and then he was no more. And of course, one of the requirements is that you man is appointed to die but once, and then comes judgment. So you have Elijah, who was caught up to heaven, did not appear to die, and you have Enoch, who did not appear to die. So people think it's got to be Enoch and Elijah, and I'm thinking I'm leaning more towards Moses because of the nature of the battle of Satan fighting Michael over Moses' bones, for one, the secrecy of his death, the reappearance of Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus is pretty heavy evidence that it's Moses and Elijah, and also the plagues, the repeat of the plagues in Egypt that we hear in the description of what the two witnesses do. So I think there's more biblical support for Moses and Elijah. Elijah is kind of a unanimous choice because he's literally predicted by name to come. And Jesus talked about John the Baptist. Hey, he could have been Elijah if you had accepted him, but you didn't, so Elijah's still yet to come. And to this day, Jews they actually make a place at Passover for Elijah to come before the day of the Lord. And of course, Elijah's going to be preaching repentance. He's going to be preaching the good news. So probably Moses and Elijah. Some people think Enoch and Elijah, but I'm going to go with Moses. So what do they preach, and what kind of effect does it have? Well, I think it's probably better to say, when do they preach? Their ministry appears to line up and parallel the evil deeds of the Antichrist and the false prophet in a large way. There is obviously, it is focused on the temple, the new temple, a temple that will be rebuilt or built and have an outer court, something you can go into and something that the sacrifices have been restarted on. The Antichrist is going to go into that temple, the abomination of desolation, at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week. After 3.5 years, he's going to go in and he's going to stop those sacrifices. We don't know how long they will have been going on, but he's going to stop that process. You have to realize that Moses and Elijah are going to be preaching Jesus as the Messiah. They're going to be preaching primarily focused on Israel, and they're going to be backing the smack with miracles and all kinds of things that they do. And they're going to be doing this at the same time that the Antichrist and the false prophet are at the height of their powers. The false prophet is going to be commanding that, making an image to the beast, commanding that people worship it or be killed. The Antichrist is going to be persecuting, chasing down the Jewish nation, and chasing down Christians. He's going to be offering a reward for any Christians who do not worship him or worship the image of him. So people will be turning each other in. Christians, Jewish people will lose their land, their belongings. They will be destitute, and they will be rejected by even family members and turned in for a fee. So this is a rough time, but the two witnesses will be prophesying during this time. And guess what's going to happen? They are going to shut up the sky so it doesn't rain during the 3.5 years they prophesy, which would, of course, bring about a great famine and a lot of problems that we see in the sequence of the seals opening and the trumpet judgments. We see some of the results of that. And remember, the world's blaming them on that because the world views them as the source of their torture. So when they are actually killed by the Antichrist and the false prophet are looking like they're the heroes in the story here, because they've taken out the world's, one of the world's greatest problems. And of course, they're going to be defending Israel as a nation this whole time. And we know Israel's going to be a huge stumbling block, and all kinds of nations are going to come and try to take her out and divide the land and do all kinds of things to her. And these two prophets will be considered, quote unquote, majorly in the way. And basically, if we can get rid of them, then all of our problems will be gone. So you have, the same time we have this great evil, Satan's greatest evil attempt coming, God has prepared these two individuals, Moses and Elijah, the same ones that were on the Mount of Transfiguration, to rise against the evil and testify that God's word is true, that he is true, that Jesus really is the Messiah, and that God has predicted all this to come about. So God is not without a witness in the midst of the darkness. These are the two lampstands. They are the two, the law and the prophets are going to be literally what shines light in the world, that points everyone to Jesus. And so that's what they're going to do. So when they get taken out, the Antichrist and the false prophet and the rest of the world will think it's Christmas time, basically, or rejoice like Christmas. And they're really going to think, okay, now we got them. But of course, 3 days later, they're going to rise from the dead and be told to come up here. So I think it's going to be interesting. They could be resurrected on the rapture. They do prophesy for 3.5 years. We don't know exactly when that starts. We know the event when it stops. But we don't, we assume maybe it's the entire second half of Daniel's 70th week, but it may not be. We can't be sure. The temptation is to jump to the conclusion that any time you see a time times and a half a time or 3.5 years, that it's talking about the exact same time frame. But that is an assumption. That's not, that's not guaranteed. We just know that when they start prophesying, you can put it in the bank that they're going to be doing that for 3.5 years. And you're going to know when they start prophesying. And like I say, they're going to have opposition that they literally have to fire up, just like Elijah fired people up. And so when you look at their activity, you look at the plagues that they bring about, the Egyptian plagues Moses brought about to Pharaoh, we're getting a repeat of this story in a bigger way. The Exodus was a smaller, we're getting a combination of the Exodus and the prophets of Baal and battle with Elijah. It's a combination of that, and that's what we're getting during this time frame. So if you ever wanted to be in a Bible story, believe me, you're going to get a chance to be in it and to see it. Because it's coming to a theater. It's not just coming to a theater near you. It's coming to a world and the news near you. So that's what we have going on here. I just love that it's God gives us, he shows us that he has good, his people doing his work in the midst of great persecution, not just in the past, in Daniel's day or Moses' day or Elijah's day, but in the future. He's going to do that. During great darkness, he's promised to send those people to help us remember, right, God's in control. See, he's making it not rain. Everything these guys say is right. It's going to be bad to, all nations are going to hate us on account of Jesus and because of what the two witnesses are doing, because they're going to be, they're going to be doing things that reveal that Jesus is really who he said he is and that the Antichrist is not. And that is going to be something very unpopular. So we're going to have the courage they have to testify and to be bold and to not be ashamed of them or the gospel that they're preaching. And I think that's very important. It's kind of underscored, and we downplay it because our focus when we think about the end times is kind of too much on all the bad that's happening and not on all the amazing help God is sending us, the miraculous things he's going to do in the midst of all this, all the evidence he's going to show that he's real and really in control. So I hope this encourages you in that way, and to not just focus on figuring out who the Antichrist is, but now you have two figures God is promised to send us that are going to do some very obvious things that reveal that they're the real deal, and we should be expecting them welcoming that, and knowing that's part of our eschatology, as opposed to just this bad stuff that, you know, that nobody has an answer for as a Christian, that's just going to kind of completely overwhelm us. No, that's not the way the story, that's not the whole story. And that's why this is in here and God's told us about it. Good stuff. So remember, God has predicted all of this to take place, and he showed us different scenes like this one. And so that we'll know, we'll have an understanding that he is totally in control, and we'll be able to use this to witness to people. Say, hey, this was written down 2,000 years ago, and now it's happening right now, today. They just did this, they just did that. It's proof that God is in control, and we're going to need all that we can find to encourage one another. So until next time, we're going to get into chapter 12 next time. Hey, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. If you want to find out more about our ministry, my ministry is called Acts of the Word. You can go to actsoftheword.com. You can also go to lastdaysovercomers.org, lastdaysovercomer.org, and you can click on the link and email me, and I will try to answer any questions you have about the end times. I'm very patient. I've been working on understanding what God's up to for a long time, and I've changed my mind about many things because my eyes have continually been open as I've memorized more scripture, because I believe, like I say, all of scripture is going to be fulfilled as we see the events of Revelation arise. And so anything we've left out or overlooked or downplayed, it's not going to be downplayed. It's going to be fulfilled, and we're going to understand it then. And as we get closer, things get clearer. So it's better, it's easier to look and understand. And the things that have just been uncovered in the last few years have been amazing to me. And they were completely hidden before because the time wasn't right for them. The scriptures tell us that in the end times, many are going to go to and fro and knowledge will increase. We're going to understand this better is what it's saying. And I believe that's true. So God bless you. You want to send me an email. It's marquee@lastdaysovercomers.org or marquee@actsoftheword.com. I can respond to either of those. So God bless you. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.